Blog Talk Radio.
This land is mine. God gave this land to me. This brave and ancient land to me. And when the morning sun reveals her hills and plains, then I see a land where children can run free. So take my hand and walk this land with me, and walk this lovely land with me. Though I am just a man, when you are by my side, with the help of God, I know I can be.
Well, good evening and welcome to Yada Ya Radio. My name is Craig Wynn. I'm here with Dee this evening. We normally have Kirk as a part of our team, but unfortunately Kirk has come down with the COVIDs. And this current strain of COVID is no fun. It's a really miserable and painful experience. My wife had it about a month ago, and it is really rancid. Yeah. It was a exceedingly rough week for Israel.
Sure was.
And for Jews. They had a three-prong failure in world opinion, world courts, world politics. Following the claim by Khan, a Muslim who is a despicable human being with no judgment, no morality, pursuing the Islamic agenda of the wiping Israel off the face of the earth, decided that he would equate Gallant and Netanyahu with the heads of Hamas and say that there's an arrest warrant for them so they could be tried before the International Criminal Court. Fortunately, Israel, like the United States, is not a party to the court and will absolutely not appear. But even to condemn Netanyahu for what's happening in Gaza is reprehensible. As I said last week, the accusations of genocide are insane. Not only have there been only half of 1% of the Gazian civilians killed in this war, which is by far the lowest civilian casualties of any war in modern history. And we haven't accused anybody else of perpetrating genocide, and this is by far the lowest civilian casualties at about 10,000 civilians against 2.2 million, which is half of 1%. It's beyond that, of course. It's that the only reason that any Gazian is being killed is because the Gazians raised, supported, equipped, empowered the Hamas and Islamic Jihad terrorists that ransacked Israel, that raped and plundered, savagely tortured, murdered, abducted. And they celebrated them when they came back. And then the Hamas operatives decided that they didn't want any Gazian to move out of the way. They would cause their own women and children to be killed because they used them as human shields. And yet you're going to blame Israel for defending itself and holding the most heinous attack in modern history, that those holding them accountable, when they are in fact causing 100% of the casualties. There would be
right.
no civilian casualties if Hamas hadn't done what it has done and then followed that strategy of using their own women and children as shields. And even then, it's half of 1% of the civilian casualties.
Mm-hmm.
And there's never been a situation of a claim of genocide when the country that is alleged to be perpetrating it could have bombed all of Gaza into oblivion, could have done it from the air and not risked a single life of an Israeli son or daughter.
Right.
And yet they didn't. They could have, but they didn't. And instead, they have lost 500 of their own sons and daughters because they have chosen to protect civilian life and endanger the lives of their own to minimize civilian casualties. It's the exact opposite of what, for example, the United States did in the Middle Eastern wars. We never warned civilians that when we were going to enter or attack, or even bomb a city, and we never gave them time to move for shelter. In the case of Rafta now, Israel has built an entire city of tents and hospitals and of supplies and of, did everything but make the beds for these people. And there's been no circumstance of genocide when the country that is alleged to be perpetrating it has provided hundreds of truckloads of food per day, providing 50% more food than was provided even prior to the war.
Yeah.
There are thousands of Gazians in Israeli hospitals with them trying to save lives, and they've been doing it for long before this war and doing it even now. Went into maternity wards and provided fuel for them, provided water for them, provided medical supplies for them, which, of course, Hamas confiscated. There's never been a more humane approach, nor a more disciplined and capable military in terms of maximizing the intended casualties of the terrorists who perpetrated this heinous crime against their women and children while protecting civilian lives. And truth be known, the civilian lives don't deserve protection. You've watched the videos. You've seen how raped Jewish women were paraded mm-hmm. through the streets with hundreds of thousands cheering.
Yes.
You've seen yep. how in Gazian schools and hospitals, under their children's beds, they hid weapons mm-hmm. and even kept the hostages abducted. So this is not a community that deserves anything. And then on top of the arrest warrant for Netanyahu for doing the best job any head of state has ever done in terms of protecting civilians. So it's the antithesis of reason and morality. You have three states that want to reward terrorist atrocities by legitimizing Fakistan. There's no such thing as a Palestinian. Never has been such a thing as a Palestinian. They're Muslims, mostly Jordanian Muslims.
Mm-hmm.
They have nothing in common with the ancient Philistines. Nothing. Not the same
not
language.
Not even a scrap
not the
of
same
the
ethnicity. Age. Not the same point of origin. Nothing.
Mm-mm.
You know, if you have the state of Palestine, well, then who are its historical leaders? What is its language?
Right.
What is its currency? Where are some of its famous buildings? Show me something. There's nothing.
Maybe some coins, anything.
Anything, of course, but there's nothing.
Nope.
Kind of an independent language. don't have an independent culture, and they're all dead. They were wiped out by the very people that are today's Muslims, the Assyrians, the Babylonians. Of course, also the Romans and the Greeks.
Yep.
They don't exist anymore. So you're going to recognize a state of Fakistan? Good job, Spain. You obviously haven't moved past the Spanish Inquisition.
Yeah.
And Norway, just wait. You're already seeing the wrath of Muslims ravaging your economy and ravaging your cities.
Mm-hmm.
But it's just a matter of time. And, of course, look at Ireland and the despicable travesties that have been perpetrated by the religious in Ireland, the highest per capita molestation figures in the history of a church known for its molestation of children.
Wow.
And it's in Ireland where the atrocities were worse in orphanages and church courtyards and the like of any country in the world. If any country should keep their
shameful
blankety-blank mouth shut, it's Ireland. And the only thing that you would put next to Ireland would be Spain with their history of the Inquisition.
Mm.
So, to hell with you. If I have anything from Spain or Norway or Ireland in my home, I will dispose of it. I will never own anything, buy anything from any of those countries. And any time that I have the opportunity to credit them for their grotesque immorality, I will.
Yeah.
And then today there was the announcement by the International Criminal Court based upon South Africa's entry. South Africa is a completely dysfunctional country. It was Jews more than anyone else that helped the blacks in South Africa gain their independence. And since they've gained their independence, they've done almost nothing but destroy the economy of their country, destroy even the benefits of being free, creating a country with very few economic opportunities, educational opportunities, and a country where violence and rioting and murder are rampant. It is a country to be ashamed of what they have done. And yet they want to blame Israel. But their complicity is understandable because they're so destitute economically. They're dependent on Iran for fuel, for money. And Iran has bribed the South African loyalties. And so
shameful.
Now you have in their plea for stopping the Rafta operation, the International Criminal Court demanding that Israel withdraw and then do all sorts of things. I mean, there are a list of things that Israel is supposed to do as long as your arm. The hell with them. They're in Rafta because, well, that's where their hostages are. The last, in fact, there's a fourth thing. The last week, Israel has returned 6 hostages, all dead. The majority, if not all, of Israel's current hostages under Hamas's control are dead. It's exceedingly sad, too, what's happened with Israel on these hostages and the families of the hostages protesting against the Israeli government, demanding that the hostages be returned no matter what Israel has to sacrifice for it. The last time Israel made that kind of a deal was for Shalat. It was 1,027 criminals, of which Sinwar was one of them, for one Jewish soldier. And as a result of sacrificing 1,000 for one, Israel lost what will be 3,000 by the time it's over. And if they play the same game again, it won't be 3,000. They'll lose 30,000, maybe 300,000 to retrieve a matter of maybe 20 or 30 that are still alive. But the problem is that the overwhelming preponderance of the captives, the abductees, were progressives. Their families were progressive. They were living on kibbutzes. That's a place where communism and Marxism thrived. In fact, the kibbutzes were communist even before Marx. They gave rise to communism. One of the girls that was so brutally abused and killed, raped and killed and paraded around Gaza, said, you know, I have friends that are Palestinians. We were pro-Palestine.
Yeah.
I don't have any idea as to why that was stupid. And even now, they want to capitulate and they want to condemn the Israeli government that's trying to fight to protect Israel, such that they open the prisons of convicted terrorists to receive back the bodies of their abductees. And the moment one more Muslim is freed from prison based upon a Jew being kidnapped and abducted and held for ransom, the lives of every Jew will be worth nothing. More and more Jews will be abducted. And the more the world cries in favor of giving the fakestinians a state, the more terrorism pays, the more worldwide will be terrorized, the more Muslims will riot around the world.
Yep.
So this is where we are. And it is a exceedingly sad situation, but yet one we still have to celebrate because, as we have said on last program, there are two harvests and a family reunion left among the Mikre, with the ultimate celebration of the final Mikre Sukkah, where we camp out with our Heavenly Father Yahweh for 1,000 years here on earth. But preceding that, we have the harvest of covenant family members on Shavuah. It'd be Shavuah, we're pretty certain now, in 2026, which is May 22nd. And I had long hoped, planned, thought that the better timing for this harvest of covenant family would be in 2029. And that just gives more time to try to awaken God's people, Israel, to get them to forego Judaism, to forego Jews for Jesus and the Messianic movement, to forego either liberal or conservative politics, to say goodbye and part with the rabbis and the Haredim. But it isn't going to happen that way. The time of this particular harvest, and the Shavuot harvest is one of standing grain. It has to take place in the late spring, very early summer. The timing of this harvest is when Israel is narrowed at the waist and begins the time of Jacob's troubles. It's presented very plainly in Yeshayah 17 and 18. And now I don't think there's any chance that we can go past 2026 without the imposition of a Islamic state of terror known as Palestine.
Yeah.
And so it is upon the ratification of that where borders are set and Israel is narrowed to an indefensible position, only 5 miles wide or less at our midsection where 70% of the population lives, with much of Jerusalem itself being turned into a terrorist capital, and there being no longer any way for Israel to withhold weapons from being brought into both Gaza and into what's called the West Bank, which is Judea and Samaria, and to have those settlements surrounded by Islamic jihadists and murderers. That's what we're looking toward, and the way the world is responding, I don't see us moving past 2 years before all of that occurs. And at that point, the reason I happen to agree with, yeah, it doesn't matter that I agree with him or not, he's going to do what he's going to do, but I do try to understand his point of view, and I try to align my point of view with his. Mm-hmm. I think that's always a good idea. And in this particular case, rather than staying here longer, God's got to get us out of here. We're going to finish our books. We're going to make them, going to clean them up of our mistakes and edit them and represent them. Very close to being finished with Goddamn Religion 5, have finished, and they are published now. Goddamn Religion 1, 2, 3, and 4, Snake, Satanic, Slaughter and Submission, and right now working on Sunnah, and we'll soon finish it, and we will move on to Twistianity and its 4 volumes. And once that's corrected, we have work to do on volume 3 of Coming Home, because that's essential to God's people, and then volume 4 of Coming Home, which is going to outline everything we know that's going to transpire in these days relative to the harvest people and who is leading them in that direction. So that's where we stand. I think that's the timing that we're up against. If you are in Israel and listening to this program, you have 2 years to get out while the getting is still good. And even that's a stretch by saying good, because there's nothing good today as it relates to being Jewish. The world has turned against Jews. And it's going to become worse and worse, but by May this time, actually, 2 days shy of 2 years from now, it's going to become so intolerable that God doesn't want his covenant family, his sons and daughters, to witness it. It's very hard even to witness it now. Dee and I were talking about this before the program began, that the video that was shot by the Muslims that raped and mutilated and butchered Jewish women, young women, and abducted and killed babies and elderly. It's so horrific. It just to watch it drives you to rage.
It's such psychological trauma that they're trying to inflict with these videos. That they want to torture Jews, and these videos are truly torture.
Yes. That's what they did. They came in to torture Jews, which is why Israel really had no choice but to go after fundamentalist Muslims in Gaza, because they were bred their entire lives, raised to think that they were doing their God, Allah, he, ha, who, depending on which form you like in the Quran, a great service to murder and mutilate them. So they did. And now, this is not a new phenomenon. Islam declared war on Jews 1,400 years ago. They perpetrated genocide against Jews 1,400 years ago. They killed and enslaved every Jew in Arabia.
Well, 1,000, if people want to read about that, just go visit Craig's latest volume, Slaughter, Goddamn Religion Slaughter, Volume 4, and read Islam's Holocaust, Chapter 1.
Yes.
Right there.
Yeah, it is. It's undeniable. And so for anyone, particularly in Israel, to think that their enemy is Iran, or to think that their enemy is Saudi Arabia, or to think that their enemy is Egypt or Jordan, or to think that their enemy is Lebanon, or to think that their enemy is Hamas or the Islamic State or Fatah, none of that's true. Their enemy is Islam. Full stop. Not radical Islam, just Islam. All good Muslims are terrorists. The Quran finds them that way. A peaceful Muslim is a hypocrite, and is no longer a Muslim from the Quran's perspective. And 1,400 years ago, Allah and Muhammad declared war on Jews, raped every Jewish woman, enslaved all Jewish children, and murdered all Jewish men, decapitating them, torturing many in the process, stole their homes. And it's been a declaration of war against all mankind, Jews first, ever since that date.
Yeah.
So that is your enemy. That's why I wrote the four currently published volumes of Goddamn Religion, and we'll soon add the fifth. You need to know your enemy, and your enemy is not Hamas. It is Islam. And if you were to say, but how can we be at war with a religion of 2 billion people? I'm just telling you, those are the facts. You're at war with a religion of 2 billion people. You either acknowledge it or you will die from it. And if you think you can form a treaty with them, then you just don't know the nature of this religion. You don't understand the nature of Hudabaya. You don't understand what Muhammad and Allah specifically told Muslims about lying to non-Muslims so they become easier prey, so they are easier to kill. That's why so many Muslims from Gaza came into the kibbutzim in southern Israel. And while they were there taking money from Jewish employers, they mapped out the areas, noted where the schools were, where the elderly were, where the youngest people were, where the easiest victims were, and gave that to the Islamic jihadists that came into Israel to deliberately torture and kill. So this is our reality, whether the world wants to claim the opposite. You know, from the world's point of view, Gaza is being destroyed, and they want to stop the destruction of Gaza. Well, I'm sorry. If you wanted to stop the destruction of Gaza, then you should have done something long ago to preclude Muslims from using European funds to feed their children while educating them on European funds to hate Jews. You created this mess. You financed this mess. You provided cover for this mess. And now this toxin has become lethal, and it needs to be quarantined. And your bleeding heart for the plague is simply going to get more people killed. All right, that said, we're going to return to our review of the first five Mizmor. I made a statement two shows ago, and I said the Almighty conveyed something that was really inspiring regarding his son in Yeshaya, Isaiah 40. But before we go into it and see how it plays to this realization that Dod David is not only the Messiah and Son of God, he is the one that Jews should have acknowledged when he fulfilled Pesach and Matzah and Bukurim in year 4000 Yah, 33 CE, but didn't, and then foisted a false Messiah, Bar Kokhba, on the world thereafter and on themselves. And the only reason that Christianity came up with their mythical misnomer, Jesus Christ, was that something extraordinary did happen in Jerusalem regarding the fulfillment of Pesach, Matzah, and Bukurim in 33 CE. It just happened to be Dod fulfilled these events, and because Jews didn't acknowledge their Messiah's return, even though he had made it abundantly clear that this is what he was going to do, it opened the door for replacement theology and for Christianity to rise by stealing everything that was attributed to Dod, his accolades and his sacrifice, rendering them for naught for billions upon billions of people. And it was a fairly easy thing. All Satan had to do was demon-possessed two of the authors of the Christian New Testament, and the rest would flow from there. And those were Paul, who admitted it, and Peter, who was a significant accomplice, and whom even the Christian New Testament explains had satanic possession. So this is the mess that Jews created for themselves by not paying attention to their God, by removing his name from their lives, from even their own name, Yehud and Yehudim, and then ignoring the fact that Yahweh said that his son, and that his son also acknowledged that he would serve in this way to remove the guilt of the covenant family. So we're going to read through these first five Mizmor as they paint this picture of the Messiah and Son of God, Dod, volunteering to serve as the Pesach Gael and encouraging his people, Yisrael, to listen. It begins. Joyful with me and blessed by me, fortunate in the relationship and stepping along the straightforward path which I have provided to give meaning to life, is the individual who, as a result of the relationship, does not walk in the counsel of those who are religious and incorrect, does not stand in the way of those who are misleading with their errant platitudes, neither sits nor dwells in the company of those who babble, confounding by scoffing and ridiculing. Let me paraphrase that for you. What he just said is that he himself is the source of blessings for the people of Yisrael.
Yeah.
And that he himself made this possible by walking along the straightforward path that Yahweh has provided, beginning with Pesach, Matzah, and Bikurim. They give meaning to life. They enable us to live. Pesach is life extended, particularly for the firstborn. And who is Yahweh's firstborn? Who did Yahweh say, he is my firstborn? Dod. It is life extended for the firstborn. Matzah is the removal of guilt from the covenant family, its placement in Sheol, which Dod himself took there, never to be seen again, so that we might be adopted and live as part of God's family, enriched by him. Pesach, Matzah, and Bikurim. He's saying that he provided the blessings of these first three Moed Mikre, so that we could be part of that relationship. However, the vast preponderance of Jews walk in the counsel of those who are religious and incorrect. This would be every Jew that practices Judaism. Your Messiah and the Son of God, your very Savior, said that your being religious has precluded your salvation. Does not stand in the way of those who are misleading in their errant platitudes. That would be Israeli politics. Sad to say that Israel doesn't have a leader. I think that Gallant and Gantz are reprehensible. Mm-hmm. And I had thought that Netanyahu was reprehensible by forming a government that rewards all manner of benefits to the religious who do nothing but are parasites to the country. But the fact of the matter is, the only thing that is saving Israel at this point is Benjamin Netanyahu. And so it is a perplexing time of a man that I would really like to dislike for the very reason of forming a coalition government with religious Jews, but yet he is the only Jew with a conscience, because that certainly would not include Gantz, who would play politics at this time to condemn the government, condemn Netanyahu and Gallant, who has been a complete loser since the moment he stepped into this role. So all you have is misleading and errant platitudes from men who are disgusting. Israel, you don't have any leadership in politics nor in religion. You need to walk away from both. Stop trusting them. And I know Israel is and many Israelis are trying still to cling to the one anchor that they believe that will hold them from drifting away, which is their IDF. And I can certainly respect the courage of Israelis, young people, and their last ounce of devotion as they are, have been, so many of them have been killed trying to liberate the abductees and trying to hold Hamas accountable. But the fact is, the IDF has failed Israel. It failed Israel, and knowing what was going to happen on October 7th, having a whole dossier on it and doing nothing. And then when it occurred, taking 8, 10, 12 hours to respond. And then when they decided what we're going to do, took months before they actually acted, and then drug out a war that the longer it drags out, the worse it is for Israel. So I'm sorry, even the IDF isn't worthy anymore of Israel's loyalty or respect. And that's hard to say, because the young men and women who fight for the defense of Israel are wonderful, extraordinarily disciplined and devoted, courageous, and deserve our respect. It's the only military in the world that I would say that of. But it is true that it is a people's army, and they are extraordinary. They're not perfect by any means, but they are exceptional, the best of the best.
Well said. I think it's really well said.
Says, don't, and who are misleading and errant in their platitudes, and does not sit or dwell in the company of those who babble, confounding by scoffing and ridiculing. Boy, wouldn't that describe now the progressives in Israel, scoffing and ridiculing their own government, their own people. Instead, by contrast, the Messiah and Son of God, Israel's firstborn, the individual who fulfilled Pesach, Matzah, and Bukurim, father and son, says instead and by contrast, within the Torah teaching and guidance of Yahuwah, that is not the God-forsaken Talmud. The religious claim that they are Torah observant. They're not. They prioritize and study and spew out platitudes from their Talmud. This is Yahuwah's Torah. It is his teaching and guidance. They would even call it law, is to show you how wrong they are. And they would remove the one name in it that matters most. Yahuwah. They won't even say it. Instead, and by contrast, it's within the Torah, teaching and guidance, direction and instruction of Yahuwah that is valuable and matters to him. You know, the Torah teaches us how to pronounce Yahuwah. Not only does it have the ah sound that is repeated twice in Yahuwah, Yah, O-Ah, it also has the source of the O in Yahuwah, the O in Torah, which everybody knows how to pronounce, just like the O and sound in Shalom, which no one has any difficulty pronouncing, is from the Hebrew Wah. And there's never been any question as to how to pronounce the Yod, the Wah, in Hebrew, the Y, and it is pronounced as a consonant vowel, just as it is in English. It is the source of the letter and the sound of the letter, and the fact that it's a vowel consonant, even in in English. It's Yahweh, as instructed and directed from the very pronunciation of Torah. So instead, and by contrast, rather than being religious, rather than being political, rather than rallying and scoffing and ridiculing, instead of all of that, by contrast, it's within the Torah teaching and guidance of Yahweh. It's what is valuable and matters. And what's in the Torah? The Torah begins by presenting the only accurate creation account ever presented. It's still more accurate than what you read in science books. It said that God created the heavens and the material realm. And it began with an expansion of light energy. And he talks about the expansion. He even uses the term Big Bang. And talks about how light then coalesced into matter. And he goes through a progression of 6 days of creation where he says these are the things that happened and talk about the emergence of plant life and how it grew from the sea and then how the atmosphere around the earth became translucent and as the asteroids and comets and volcanoes and the like subsided and the atmosphere became far more oxygen rich and then animals were derived and exploded onto the scene from after plants. And God then talks about the last of the animals being mammals and then humans, which is exactly how it happened. It even said it transpired over six 24-hour days, and all you have to do is use what we know, which the Wilkinson probe measuring the effects of the Big Bang, again a term that Yahweh used, first to use that term, said quite clearly that time was relative. Einstein has proved that time is relative. You look at the measurements of the Wilkinson probe and you realize that time was stretched 10 to the 12th power at creation. So the creator's testimony about his creation, if he says that it's six 24-hour days, we have to multiply that by a factor of 10 to the 12th power based upon the cosmic radiation background from the Big Bang to show the difference between how time flowed then and flows now. If you take 14 billion years since the Big Bang, divide that by 10 to the 12th power, you end up with six 24-hour days.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it was precisely accurate. Even with the flood, he said that it would be caused by a deep upwelling of seawater. It's exactly what happened when the crater that's now, the asteroid that's created the crater that's known as the Burkle Impact Crater occurred right at that time. Flooded the region where God said the flood was going to occur, went all the way up, leaving sediment with a 500-foot tsunami up through Mesopotamia, turning the Black Sea from fresh water into salt water, burying the civilizations that he intended to bury there under 500 feet of salt water, and then rushing out, creating the Bosphorus Straits. It all happened exactly as he said it would. He has the only credible creation account. And that book goes from that creation account and the flood and telling us that Noah was chosen because he was disassociated from the Nephilim, who were religious and political and vicious. They were Hamas, violent terrorists. And God chose Noah to reach out to because he had separated himself from the religion and the politics of his day. And Noah saved himself and his family by following God's instructions. He listened to Yahweh and did as Yahweh requested, and as a result, he was saved. And the sign of that salvation is the rainbow with its seven colors that are also placed through everything that Yahweh has to say with his seven Moed Mikre, the seven colors of the rainbow, and of course the seven lights on the menorah,
mm-hmm.
and the seven spirits of Yahweh that are enabling this program that you're hearing tonight and all of the books that are part of the Yada Yahweh series. From there, there is the story of Yahweh confounding humanity and through Babel and the problems of Babel and what Babylon represents in terms of confusing, intermixing, and confounding people through religion and politics, blending truth and lies together, the nature of religion, the nature of politics, this blend of truths and lies. It's the nature of Judaism, Christianity, not so much of Islam as its pure lies. But Christianity and Judaism are a blend of truth and lies, which just makes the lies more credible, more believable, more lethal.
Mm-hmm.
And what follows that? Chapter after chapter after chapter. I don't know if it's 11, 12, 13 chapters. The story of Yahweh meeting Abraham. He chose Abraham because, well, Abraham had disassociated from the politics and the religion, the integration of these things in where? Babylon. And that's where Yahweh met with him, because he had walked away from religion and politics. And the story of their relationship is he led him to the promised land and systematically shared with Abraham the five conditions of the covenant. All of us who have chosen to be part of it must first and foremost, as a prerequisite, walk away, disassociating ourselves from religion and politics, from our country, from the realm of man, from the family of man, and then to trust and rely on Yahweh, to walk to him and allow him to perfect us, which is what happens during the Moed Mikre, which is the very thing that Dod is speaking of here, and the fulfillment of those first three Moed Mikre, Pesach, Matzah, and Mukurim, that enable God to perfect us, immortalize us, and adopt us into his family. And not only are the five conditions of the covenant presented, where the fourth condition is extremely important, it means to closely examine and carefully consider the very terms and conditions of this covenant relationship. And then, of course, the fifth is to circumcise our sons as parents on the recognizing how relatively important eight is as it relates to our eternity and their eternity. And we raise our children to be part of God's family so that they know Yahweh and choose to be part of his family, as you have done. I did to some extent. I came upon this knowledge late and was able to bring one of my two children, two sons, now an adult, with me into the covenant family. And you have done it with your family. And covenant queen, if you will, the woman who really does more for the covenant than any other, Dee has sons and daughters and in-laws and grandchildren, all that celebrate all that is to be part of God's
family. She has a whole crew.
She has. She does. She is going to have her own section on Shavuah. That'll be the Jackie section, and it is such a wonderful celebration of life. They are such wonderful, happy children and grandchildren. And so here we are as a covenant family, capitalizing on what God has to offer. And then God, in that conversation with Abraham, shared the five benefits of the covenant, and they are to enjoy eternal life, to be perfected by God, which is what Dod is offering here as well, to be adopted into God's family, to be empowered, and to be enriched by God. That's a lot to convey in the first verse of the first song. Indeed, by contrast, within the Torah teaching and guidance of Yahweh is what is valuable and matters to him, and in his Torah directions and instructions, he meditates giving serious thought and consideration to the information so as to speak decisively day and night. Dee, this is one of your most valuable contributions. You are exceedingly thoughtful as an individual. You meditate on what the Torah says. You've given it serious thought and consideration. You have compiled and connected the information that it provides and have done everything from creating a timeline that is exceedingly valuable and useful on the site to sharing what we shared last week about the importance of the Shavua harvest and Teruah leading up to Kippurim and manage social media for us. This is speaking decisively day and night based upon the directions and instructions in the Torah and mediating on them, meditating on them, giving them serious thought and consideration. It is certainly what I have devoted the last 22 years of my life to doing.
Yes, you have, and I've learned from the best.
Yeah, nothing more rewarding. It's what Dod, the Son of God, his beloved, our Savior, the Messiah, our King, is encouraging. As I said earlier, it's or my opinion of whether it's better for us to be removed from the disgusting things that are happening against God's people on this planet, many of which God's people are doing to themselves. Early or late, 2026 or in 2029, what I said is, well, my opinion doesn't matter. It does in a way. And that is because it is useful, it is helpful, it is beneficial when our desires mesh with Yah's.
Absolutely.
If he has a reason for wanting us removed in 2026, knowing that we'll leave a legacy of these books and these programs, but we won't be here to encourage on a daily and weekly basis God's people, he knows what he's doing. He's saying, you know, it's a time for them to make their decision. You've given them more than enough.
Yep.
You will have finished this project. You will have given them enough. I don't want you to have to endure what's going to transpire. I want my people, my family, out of there.
Yep.
And, you know, he's going to send us back, as two of us anyway, and going to put on a magnificent show through the two of us, Elia and myself, with the Malak and with these books elevated for all to see. Ark of the Covenant brought out, the very tablets of stone lifted up. It's going to be an extraordinary time as we battle against the forces of evil and particularly the corporeal manifestation of Satan himself during these last days and against religion and against politics. So Dod is telling you this is what you ought to do. And what I was going to say is that the second thing that I would recommend is not only to come to the point where you strive to have your thought process mesh with Yahweh's, where you think like him, you want the same things. You know, you're going to find that you're going to get everything you desire when you want what God wants to give.
Yes,
but it's also true that God communicates through extraordinary individuals. Certainly, Abraham was one, but Moshe, far greater. And Dod is the ultimate example, the epitome of them. And so if Dod says, this is what you ought to do, and this is what you should not do, you ought not be religious, you ought not be political, you ought not be a rabble-rouser in your protests against your own people. And what you ought to do is meditate upon and study and fall in love with the Torah teaching and guidance of Yahweh so that you come to understand why he created, how the garden is going to be our future. It's not just our past, it is our future. You read that in the Torah.
Right.
You understand God's timeline and when he's going to return by studying the Torah. You learn what Dode did and why by studying the Torah, because he is all over it. When Moshe and Dabadim said there'll be one like me from among your midst. You're speaking of Dode. When Abraham and Yishak came up Mount Moriah on Passover, and Yah said, don't take the life of your firstborn, your only son, your beloved, whom you love, I will provide the lamb. He was saying he would, all right, through his beloved son, Dode, the corporeal manifestation of Dode's body, was sacrificed on Pesach in year 4000 Yah. All of that is being conveyed here. And when Dode says, this is what you ought to do, I'm here to tell you, you're going to be a lot happier. You're going to be a lot closer to Yahweh. You're going to be part of his eternal family. Nothing that's going on in the world is going to phase you, because you are going to be harvested by God on Shavuah if you listen to Dode and act on his inspired advice. He then says, then he is like a tree planted near an idyllic stream of flowing water, such that as a result of this beneficial relationship, he produces and bestows its fruit in his appointed time. Dode is not speaking of himself here. I had thought that, you know, maybe he was, but he's not. He doesn't speak of himself in third person. He's speaking of a tree that is planted near a stream of flowing water at his appointed time. As a result of this beneficial relationship, in context with meditating on and giving serious thought to and consideration to the Torah and speaking decisively about it day and night. Well, I've read what Zechariah says about the two witnesses as trees planted besides the flowing waters, and them being arriving at their appointed time and bestowing great amounts of fruit because they're olives. And I've read what my dearest friend Yashiyah has said about the olives that will be harvested and the uppermost branches and the branches that have been cut away of that tree, and what he says about the seven spirits enabling a branch, a choder, at this time to call God's people's home.
Dode, that's why I said I've learned from the best.
Well, you know, I would never claim to be the best. I will claim that I have striven to be the best I can be on behalf of my God, his son, and his people. And I have devoted the last 22 years of my life to doing the best I could possibly do to call God's people home, to be productive and fruitful on behalf of our Heavenly Father and his beloved son. And so it is a great joy to be this tree that is planted at the appropriate time, a choder, a branch from it, because there are so many prophecies about it.
And to us.
Right. And Dode recognizes it. Yashayah knows it. Mm-hmm. It's all over the Torah. It's all over the prophets. It's all over the writings. It's everywhere you look. And the reason that it is everywhere is because Dode made the ultimate sacrifice for his people. He served as the Pesach El, as the Passover lamb, giving his people life. He took the guilt of every covenant member into Sheol to deposit it there at great personal cost. And then Yahweh brought him out so that he could be with the Father again on Bukurim, firstborn children, because he is the firstborn of Yahweh. He did all of these things, and yet his people have denied him. And they have denied him for the past 2,000 years. And they've created a religion about denying him. Finally, Yahweh reaches out to a goy of all people and says, I want to work with you, and this is the mission. And he says, I'm going to make it possible. I will empower you and equip you to do this mission. But Dode recognizes the only reason that there are people today that are willing to acknowledge that he fulfilled Pesach, Matzah, and Bukurim, that he is our Savior, that Father and Son did this as a gift to their people, and that they enable us to accept the five conditions of the covenant and to receive the covenant's five benefits, understanding precisely what happened on each of those, not only first three mikra that were fulfilled and to tie them into the whole of God's story, but understand how the next two, three, and four will be fulfilled and when they will be fulfilled. And so Dode, as a prophet, witnessed the future. And he saw what we are doing, which no one else is doing.
Yep.
And knew that it was the one thing that was changing, causing his people to finally accept and benefit from what he has done. It's one thing to have volunteered for the ultimate sacrifice. It is another to have your people deny you.
Yeah.
Deny what you have done for 2,000 years, and have most of the world make a mockery of it, where they will assign messiahship and son of God status and savior status to a myth. What a disgrace.
Yeah.
His uplifting branch will never wither. He will never lack for understanding, and everything that he engages in to show the way to the benefits of the relationship, he will succeed and proffer. It is embarrassing, really, to read this and recognize that Dode is talking about a branch, a Choder. And I am that branch in Choder. And
yes,
I had no qualifications coming into this mission. It's just that there wasn't a single Yehudim Jew on the planet who was willing to do what Noach did long ago, listen to God and do as he asked. Now, it was a major commitment. I mean, I began by doing what he asked and exposing and condemning Islam and got thousands of death threats as a result of it, and spent years of my life in the sewer. The ultimate hell of humankind is Islam. But God wanted me to start there, to understand the sinister nature of religion. He took me right through the condemnation of Christianity in four volumes. And then when I was prepared for it, the condemnation of Judaism by exploring what the books written in Babylon had to say. But most importantly, walking me through the Torah so that I would understand the creation account, what happened in Eden in the garden, and how that is essential to understanding of what God is offering and expecting from us. And then the first to understand the covenant from perspective of it has five conditions and five benefits, which God is offering and expecting from us in return, and how those five benefits of the covenant are manifest through the Moed Mikra, particularly Pesach, Matzah, and Bukurim, and how these work together as hand and glove. And then to realize the ultimate discovery, the greatest discovery in human history, the realization that Dode, the King of Yisrael, the Messiah, the Son of God, fulfilled Pesach, Matzah, and Bukurim with Yahweh's assistance. This is the story that that uplifting branch is bringing. And at this point, that is a branch that will never wither, nor will it ever lack for understanding. And the reason for that is, read the 11th chapter of Yeshayah. It's specific about how this branch, this Choder, this otherwise insignificant stem, would be enriched and empowered with understanding in every possible way, and courage and skills in communication, all to convey God's message. And that's what Dode is speaking of here. It's what Yeshayah spoke of. It's what is woven throughout the prophets, because this is all being done to share how we can engage in the covenant relationship, be part of God's family. We can all succeed and prosper. Capitalizing on what Dode has offered. He says, this is not true or even remotely similar with those who are incorrect. And they are the preponderance of people, with those who will be condemned for leading others astray, for misrepresenting God's character. Boy, isn't that the nature of religion? You know, the G-D, the Hashem of Judaism. The Jesus Christ, Lord of Christianity, the Allah and Rabbi of Islam. They paint a picture of a reprehensible God, a God who is not worth knowing. They have misrepresented God's character. You know, they, in one religion, you have heaven, hell, Christianity. Well, a God who would say, you must capitulate to me and love me or I will torture you forever in hell, is a sadist. God isn't worth knowing. A Christian God is capricious. To follow the thought of the Christian God, he came up with the Torah, then realized, well, I can't save anybody. I'm condemning people with my Torah. I'm incapable of saving anybody. So I'm going to take this sexual pervert and vicious murderer, drop out of rabbinical school, and I'm going to have him contradict everything I have said and done, and he's going to come up with a plan of salvation that I couldn't conceive. That's Christianity. Now, if you think that's a true story, then maybe you are a Christian. And, you know, and Islam is far worse. You got the snake that slithered out of the garden and into Arabia, and everything Allah says and does is pure Satanism. It's Satan fulfilling what was said of him in Yeshaya 14, of what would rise out of Babel, this Lord that would exalt himself to be seen religiously rising above the Almighty. Man has made a mockery of God. Religious gods aren't worth knowing. The God of Islam is absolutely sadistic. He's a psychopath.
Yeah.
The God of Christianity is capricious and impotent. It's just sad. And then in Judaism, the God is outvoted by rabbis. He can't be understood, so rabbis have to interpret him. He is the subject of all manner of belly aching and bitterness and just hostility. And you look at the religiosity of Jews beginning with the Exodus, and it's hideous.
Mm-hmm.
It's got to change. It's got to change in a hurry. You don't have much time left. Things are going to get really nasty for Jews just because the ultimate harvest isn't until 2033. October 2nd is when Kippurim will happen. It's actually then 10 days prior to that the harvest of Teruah will occur, where Yisrael and Yehuda, that those who have come to accept Yahweh at the last moment and Dode and what they have done for them will be saved from those last 5 days of literal hell on earth so that we can celebrate Yom Kippurim on October 2nd in 2033. Don't wait.
Right.
Because you may not survive it. In fact, the high likelihood is you won't survive it. So you've really you've got 2 years while the getting is good. 2 years. That's all you got. 2 years minus 2 days. And even then, the earlier you choose to be part of God's family, to acknowledge Yahweh by name, to accept the conditions of the covenant, to attend the Moed Mikre as they were designed. That the sooner you do that, the more fulfilling your life's going to be, the more likely it is that those you love will see the freedom and joy and enlightenment in your life and will want to be part of it too. The more likely it is that you will be able to use the majority of these 2 years productively to call more people home. And you've got all eternity to celebrate the joy of being in God's presence. You only got two years left to be able to make a difference. Wouldn't you like to go into eternity not having chosen Yah at the very last moment and saved no one but yourself, but instead to go into eternity knowing that you made a tremendous difference in many people's lives?
Right.
Wouldn't you like to meet Yahweh for the first time? And when he gives you a hug, he says thank you. Wouldn't you love your God to appreciate what you've done?
As opposed to gotten in there in
the skin of your teeth? I would. I want my God to be pleased with me.
I want to bring something to the table.
Yeah, I do too. He's done so much for us.
Yep.
It's the greatest joy of our lives to be able to return something. And all you have to do is do what he requests. And you've got nothing to lose and everything to gain. So please, don't wait. This is not true or even remotely similar with those who are incorrect and those who will be condemned for leading others astray and for misrepresenting God's character, who rather instead will be like the chaff which is driven away and refuted by the Spirit. Of those living on our planet today, there are, unfortunately, 2 billion Muslims who will fall into one of two categories if they're simply misled and they don't act upon the fact they are misled, then they'll be the chaff driven away by the Spirit. They will cease to exist. However, if they're promoting that which is incorrect, if they're out at rallies against Jews under the false impression that they're rallying for the freedom of fakestinians, if they're among those who have been torturing or harassing Jews, then it is to Sheol that they will go. They will be condemned for leading others astray and for representing God's character. And the same thing will be said for Christians, and the same thing will be said for religious Jews. The victims will mostly be like the chaff, which is driven away and refuted. But the leaders, the rabbis, the priests, the popes, the imams, those who act on religious and political notions, they're going to be condemned. And being is an eternity in Sheol, which you could equate to hell. Therefore, based on this reasoning, those who are incorrect, mislead, and are misleading will not stand upright during the judgment, nor those who are wrong in the enduring community of witnesses of those who are correct and vindicated. The community of witnesses are not just covenant members. They're covenant members like Dee Kirk when he's not suffering from the COVIDs, Jackie, David, and what all he does on the website, our whole edit team, and fact-checking team, and so many others that contribute tremendously to conveying Yahweh's message and the message of this program and of these books on various online mediums. So they are the community of the enduring witnesses. They are those who are correct and vindicated, and they will stand during the judgment of others. But those who are being judged and condemned, well, it'll be the one time that you can bow before God and not be told to stand. While the covenant family is standing, they will be bowed and they will be judged for what they have done. there has to be a consequence, and there will be one. Indeed, because Yahweh knows the way of those who are upright, correct, and vindicated, those whose path is incorrect will perish. It's interesting that that Dode presented it this way. It says, Yahweh knows the way of those who are upright. So all of the upright around him who are not bowed down, they are vindicated, they are correct, are those who have studied the Torah, the prophets, and the Psalms, and have acted based upon the knowledge that they have gleaned. And this is the reason we wrote the whole series. There's 33 books now and part of the Yada Yahweh series. This is why we wrote them, so that you could see Yahweh's testimony translated from the oldest extant witnesses, the Dead Sea Scrolls correcting the Masoretic text, removing all the diacritical markings and getting to the root meanings of words, conveying them in an accurate and amplified way throughout these books, and then making the connections that help you understand, developing insights that haven't been considered in thousands of years, is why we wrote these 33 books that are all free in their entirety online and are royalty-free at Amazon and paperback and hardback and ebooks. Please read them. We do this show to direct those who want to be part of God's family to the books, because Yahweh is a huge proponent of the written word. So he says that he knows the way of those who are upright and correct and vindicated, because we're on his way. But he says the path of the incorrect, those on the path that is incorrect will perish. What he's saying basically is, I don't know them. And that's important. God does not know the religious. He does not know the political. They don't know him. He doesn't know them. That's why at the end of their lives, they will simply cease to exist. Their souls will vanish. And it's the only way God can actually enjoy creation.
Mm-hmm.
Is to enjoy the company of and the productivity of and the benefit of those who have chosen to be part of his family while ignoring everyone else. And that's why I think that God himself is not going to participate in the judgment. I think he's going to establish the criterion. He's going to make his malach available to provide witnesses and testimony and to bring the accused along with all the evidence against them. And he's going to have individuals who will pronounce judgment, determining who goes off to Sheol and whose souls are simply cease to exist, as well as a special group who will not only end up in Sheol, but will be humiliated and suffer for what they've done to others, to hold, so that those that they abused can be made whole, so that they know that those who abused them received what they deserved. But that is going to be delegated. God does not know them. He does not want to know them. He should not have to know them. He created this wonderful universe for us and this marvelous text that we can get to know him, and made all of the, did everything that he needed to do to make it possible for us to receive all of these benefits. He's in a position where he should be celebrating with the family who has chosen to be with him. And it is our opportunity to serve during this time of judgment and do what needs to be done with those who deserve to be sent off to Sheol. Indeed, because Yahweh knows the way that are of those who are upright and correct, but those whose path is incorrect, they will perish. They will cease to exist. For what reason, one should ask, do noisy and confused throngs of scheming and rebellious Gentiles gather together to conspire in open defiance? And boy, is that ever true. I mean, look what Dode would have seen if he saw college campuses today. if you saw European cities.
Burn them to the ground.
Oh, my God. He would be puking all over. Just disgusted. It's for the same reason Yahweh doesn't want his family to endure this any longer than is absolutely necessary. It's just mind-boggling. Between progressives who are acting like absolute immoral idiots and ignorant idiots and Muslims and conspiratorial numbskulls, the world is filled with people who are overwhelmingly anti-Israel and God. You know, and I don't really know. This is something that God hasn't said a lot about. But when a Gentile abuses other Gentiles, does God going to go out of his way to make certain that that person is held accountable? Or is he just going to make certain that those who have abused his people are held accountable? And it's an interesting thought. I don't really even know the answer. I'm certain that God's going to say, this is what I want you to do, and the Malak are going to facilitate it, and we're going to have our marching orders and criterion to act upon, and we're going to do as we have been asked.
I haven't thought about that, if you don't mind. I think that men who claim to be God and have used that to oppress others, they might just meet God, and they might just get a chance to show how godly they are compared to the true God. I think that's fair. So when you have men who use religion to compel and cause the death of millions, I think God has a vested interest in answering his identity and making sure.
Clearly.
But beyond I don't know that there would be.
But clearly, almost every religion has, as an aspect of it, to denigrate God's people. Christianity is literally born out of anti-Semitism. Islam was born out of anti-Semitism. Those are the two most popular religions in the world. Progressives are universally now anti-Semitic. So there is a huge element of that built in. And and a lot of the people who would be God, Genghis Khan, Tamerlane, look at Julius Caesar and all of the Roman emperors after him. Alexander the Great and what he did. And these are men who claim to be God.
Yeah.
And they had a very detrimental effect on God's people. And their legacy had an even more detrimental effect on God's people. So I think those fall under the abused my people scenario. But I do think that for everyone who chose not God, I think there will be a moment where even the souls of those who will be dissipated to nothing will at least know what they forsook, what they could have had but didn't have.
Well.
And for those who are going to be condemned, they're going, you know, those of us who are assigned the responsibility of determining who goes to Sheol, hell, and whose soul simply dissipates into nothingness, are acting on Yahweh's instructions. We're acting with Yah's power. So we will certainly make Yah manifest to these individuals so that they know who they opposed. There's going to be a huge element of it. There is no witness that is standing here condemning those who were political and religious and conspiratorial and harms God's people that are acting independently. We just don't. We're part of a family, and the head of our family is Yahweh. We're not going to be independent. Now, God gives an enormous amount of latitude to the people he worked with. So we will have enormous latitude in all this, but we will still be seeking to align our decisions such that what we decide is consistent with what God would decide in our place. It's just that he's going to delegate this as he delegates everything else. The people of these nations who are transformed while massing under an antiquated and unifying religious, political, and conspiratorial leader, Laom is such a interesting Hebrew word, those who plot and seek after selectively searching, muttering their musings aloud, along with their imagined grievances and personal beliefs. Haga, we're speaking of conspiratorial nutcases in this case, and vain, deluded in their fantasies while promoting worthless myths. So God is speaking of religion and politics, as well as conspiracies, all saying that those three human contrivances are all wrong. They are all conspiring and open defiance against God's people. They are noisy. They are confusing. They represent the overwhelming majority of people. They're scheming. They're rebellious. They're antiquated in their thinking. Again, religious, political, and conspiratorial. The rulers of the earth, solely on their own initiative, continually set themselves up. Those in command claiming primacy of authority and an esteemed status lay the foundation to conspire and rebel altogether over Yahweh and against his Mashiach, anointed Messiah. We have transitioned from the first Mizmor to the second, and yet there really is no difference. It's the same exact message.
Broken slow. Yeah.
So the leaders that everybody, whether it's a thought leader or a societal influencer or a rock star or sports leader or politician or religious leader, God's saying they're acting on their own initiative. They're setting themselves up. They're claiming authority and their esteemed status by conspiring and rebelling over Yahweh and against his Mashiach, anointed Messiah. Outside of the covenant family, there is no one who is not conspiring and rebelling against Yahweh and his Mashiach, anointed Messiah. And it is the twosome. And we would never diminish what Moshe did for us by conveying the Torah and then going through and Devarim, explaining what was important and providing such essential insights into the Torah, along with the test to know who's speaking for God and who is not. But nonetheless, you boil all of the 6,000-year experience of man in the image of God and Yahweh together, and it comes down to these two individuals. Yahweh and his Mashiach, anointed Messiah, the speaker of this psalm. Let us choose of our own volition to break and pull off the bonds which trap and ensnare. What does religion mean? It's based upon a Latin word that speaks of binding and of rebinding and keeping people trapped and ensnared, unable to pull away. The desire to cast off and throw away, rejecting from us their twisted and interwoven threads which bind and immobilize, which they use to twist and pervert, to harness and control. Again, he's speaking of the integration of religion and politics, which have ensnared and trapped humanity for the past 6,000 years. God wants us to throw it away, to reject it. He says that their approach is twisted, it's interwoven, it immobilizes, it perverts, it controls. And that is what religion and politics are. They are control mechanisms. And the worst is religion because it claims to speak for God. We're about to end our broadcast part of this program and begin what is strictly the archive portion. Those listening on their phones will still be able to hear us, but not those on their computers here in just a matter of moments. But we will continue for a bit more, if you don't mind, Dee, as we try to reinforce the merit of these Mizmor and the story that is being told by them. We'll pick this back up again next week. So Dod is saying, make a choice. He's speaking to his people. He cares about Yisrael. He was the king of a united Yisrael. Let us choose of our own volition to break off the bonds which entrap and ensnare. Don't be political. Do not be religious. Do not be conspiratorial. These things are interwoven. They exist to twist, to pervert, to harness, and to control. He who inhabits, establishing his dwelling place in the heavens, holds them in contempt and will pulverize them. Yahweh ridicules their foreign behavior and mocks their unfamiliar language. If you are part of anything that is religious, that is political, that seeks to harness and control others, then you need to know that God holds you in contempt. And those who cling to these things, by the time of his return, will be pulverized. They will cease to exist. Yahweh does not recognize their foreign behavior, and he mocks their unfamiliar language. This would be true of Christianity, of Judaism, and of Islam, and of Hinduism, and of being progressives, socialists and communists. Then he will communicate, expressing himself towards them, showing his frustration and resentment and his burning indignation, and he will overwhelm and bewilder them. So this is consistent with your statement, Dee. Those who have been part of leading religious and political conspiratorial agendas, God's going to expose himself to them. He's going to show them his burning indignation. They're going to know that they chose poorly. Now, I don't think Yah's going to do a lot more than that. I think he just wants to enjoy his family at this point. But you can't love your family unless you are committed to hating that which is opposed to your family. Anything that would harm your children, you must despise. You must seek to eliminate to love your family. And this is true of God. He loves his people, and those who have sought to harm his people, he despises. He shows his frustration and resentment, his burning indignation towards those who have claimed to be gods, who have claimed to speak on behalf of gods, to those who have written books like the Christian New Testament, written books like the Talmud, who've written books like the Quran. You're going to see God's burning indignation. Then Dod says, I myself have offered leadership, providing counsel through my governance, upon Zion, the signs posted along the way, my set-apart mountain. That's really what we all want to say in the end, isn't it? Dod just did more than the rest of us. But Dod is saying, I have offered leadership. I have provided counsel. I have sought to govern. And I've done so on Zion, with the signs posted along the way, connecting my home and Yahweh's home, the covenant family home, on the set-apart mountain that was not just Yahweh's. Mount Moriah, which means to respect and revere Yah, isn't just Yahweh's. The signs along the way aren't just Yahweh's. The Temple Mount isn't just Yahweh's. The home of the covenant family isn't just Yahweh's. It's all of ours who are part of the covenant family. It's our mountain too. It's our signs. Our names are written on them. The message that we have observed that have brought us to God, the directions, are part of our lives. So we can say the same thing that Dod does. It's the exact same thing we were talking about earlier. Would you rather come to God thinking, thank you, God, you saved me? Would you like to come to God and say, well, thank you, but knowing that he's also going to be appreciative, that you didn't make it in
That's a good deal.
Yeah, the skin of your teeth, but God's given you a hug and said, you know, I really appreciate, look at the size and the quality of this family. And you contributed to bringing this joy not only into my life, but into their lives. Can you imagine how good that's going to feel?
Yeah.
And you get to celebrate that forever? Wouldn't everybody want to do that? Come join us. The amount that God has to give is so enormous that even though Dode is going to get the lion's share and should, it is so enormous that there is no diminishment of what we receive by having more there. As a matter of fact, it's actually enriched because more like-minded people who love Yah, who cherish what his son has done, who find it thrilling to examine and contemplate the Torah's instructions and guidance and to be part of God's family. The more people like that who want to celebrate the experience of Eden, the better. It's going to enrich all of our lives. It's going to make God happier, which is going to make us happier. Happy father, happy life.
That's a good redo.
Yeah.
You know what I really love about... Oh,
yes,
sorry.
Go ahead.
I just really love about Ms. Moore, too, that Yahweh leads in, or Dode leads in, by talking about all this worthless stuff, and then he, in 2-3, he's like, but you can break it in the thought. You can actually choose. Like, you don't have to be bound up by this. And I love the hope that Dode is offering, and then he gives you the alternative. You know, instead of being bound up, you can have Nesak. You can choose to take what he's offered and laid out.
As the ultimate student of the Torah, Dode, when he wrote the 119th Mizmor, as I say, the ultimate student of the Torah, Dode recognized that the prerequisite for being part of God's covenant family was to walk away from the things that bind religion and politics. He knew we had to walk away from Babel. He's expressing that now.
It's not a hopeless position that we're in.
Right. We can all make the decision to disassociate from religion and politics and then embrace the other terms and conditions of the covenant, all of which are for our benefit. I will choose to account for proclaiming in writing, boy, did he ever write, the prescription for living that cuts us into the relationship, choke, of the Almighty, which Yahweh said of me, you are my son. This day I bring you forth as your father. There may not be any more important statement in the whole of the Torah and prophets. In the context of everything we have read thus far, we hear Dode say that I have proclaimed something in writing that is a prescription for living that cuts us into the relationship of the Almighty, which Yahweh said of me, you are my son. This day I bring you forth as your father. What day is that? Bukurim? When did he say, you are my son? When they were talking about homes and who builds them and who lives in them and what Dode is going to do in life 2 and life 3. What did Dode write about the 22nd and 88th Mizmor that explained exactly how he's going to fulfill Pesach, Matzah, and Bukurim? How about these first 2, 3, 4, 5 Mizmor that explain the prescription for living that cuts us into this relationship that father and son accomplish together? So that this day I bring you forth as your father. What? That's the whole story. This is Dode as the exemplar of the covenant, of him showing us the way of a father-son relationship, of our father bringing us into his family because of what father and son accomplished, Dode writing it all out for us to be beneficiaries, the choke, prescriptions for living that cut us into this relationship. Very few things in life are as important as reading and understanding Dode's Mizmor. And that is what we're celebrating here. In fact, we're just to the seventh statement on the second Mizmor. And this one is joyful for us as any, because it is the announcement that not only is Dode the Son of God, but that he was brought forth on this day. He says, feel free to ask questions about this, seeking to learn the answers, because literally out of me and from me, there will be an inherited share of the land of the Gentile nations that will be given to you and to successive generations, even unto the distant reaches of the earth, perhaps even the entire material realm becoming your property.
Wow.
Dode is not just offering the opportunity to live with him in Israel. He's saying that if you ask the right questions about this, if you learn the answers about this and you recognize what he is offering himself, you're going to inherit the entire earth. It's yours. I talk to my wife, Leah, all the time about, you know, I love the nest, this home that we have built here on this island overlooking the Pacific. And I expect that we'll be able to come back to it with all the riffraff gone. We'll have neighboring homes of other covenant members that we enjoy their company. But otherwise, it's perfect. You know, for Kirk, I'm going to build a beautiful golf course. It'll be an oceanfront golf course that'll rival Pebble Beach and Spyglass Hill right along the shore. And we're going to have this beautiful place. And you know, it's not too much to ask to say, well, I want my island. And the covenant family is going to not only inherit the entire earth, but everything that's got any value in it, and then the entire universe of the material realm. That's what Dode is offering. An inheritance comes from parents to child. Yahweh is our Heavenly Father. The Ruach Kodesh is our spiritual mother. They are offering this inheritance because we become sons and daughters of God and inherit all that they have to give. And Dode is saying that based upon what he has done, that literally out of him, if you consider what he has done, if you seek to learn the answers that he has provided, then you're going to inherit a share of the entire material realm. So we've staked out our island. You should as well. You know, it's going to be marvelous. Yes, we're going to go off and explore everything. But there'll be a sense of satisfaction knowing that you can come back home and knowing that it was a job well done and that at any moment you can choose to enjoy the beauties of what God has created and then go off and explore the universe and then have other times where you're just sitting around with Dode and Yahweh listening to them sing, listening to them teach. You shall break up their evil nature and shatter their mistaken ways with an iron staff and scepter as if they were a potter's vessel as a means to contain and control, and then you will shatter and separate them. You know, I share personal insights because we should all internalize everything Yahweh has to say. If Yahweh or Dode or one of the prophets says something, we should apply it to our own lives. So I apply this to my own life, and I say, not only do I have my island, but none of the riffraff is here either. That's what this says. That I get my island, and anything that I'm looking at here that's an annoyance is gone. So that certainly works for me. You know, I'm happy to return with my wife and my best friends and my even our fur faces, if that's going to be allowed. And I think because of COLEB that the fur faces are going to be allowed to be part of our eternity. Koleb means all heart. It's also the Hebrew word for dog. Koleb and Yashaya, Yosha Ben Nun, were the ones that said, listen, what do we have to lose? This is a beautiful land. God's with us. He brought us here. Let's go in and enjoy it. And so the man whose name means completely judgmental also means all heart, and it is the Hebrew word for dog. Koleb. Therefore now...
I worry about my pup, so that would be nice.
Yeah. They add such richness to our lives. Therefore now... Yes.
Keep interrupting you.
They know how to love. They know how to be part of a family. They're really good at protecting the home.
Mm-hmm.
There's just so many things that dogs instinctively know. They're better than most people at many things. Yes. Therefore now, political and religious leaders, military and government officials, choose to be prudent and circumspect and elect to heed this warning, making the rational decision in support of the land. He's warning the world that currently they are heading in the wrong direction and that, you know, Yahweh is fair. We've been doing this program and been writing these books warning political and religious leaders now for 22 years. We've done everything we can to make this public. Dode, 3,000 years ago, gave them this warning. And the most popular book that has ever been published gave them this warning and said, stop it. This idea that you're recognizing a state carved out of Israel to the detriment of my people, you need to be prudent and circumspect. You need to pay attention. Listen to this warning. Be rational for a change and start supporting the land. Supportive of Israel or you're against Israel, and most of the world right now is against the land. Well, Dee, I think that's probably a good stopping place for us this evening. We've got a little more work on the second Mizmor, and I can probably read them very quickly, then we'll return to this for our program. I think we have about 3 minutes, but just to finish the second Mizmor, Dode says, with reverence and respect, work with and serve alongside Yahweh and rejoice to the point of quivering. Mm. This is what the covenant family does. We revere and respect our Father. We work alongside and serve Yahweh. Serving with Yahweh is the most fulfilling work in the universe. It is something... Yes. We rejoice. Quivering may be a little bit of poetic language, but we certainly feel warm all over and rejoice and feel very satisfied in this work.
I'm more emotional than you, and I can say I have definitely trembled at getting that excited over something I've learned.
I have many, many times. I wouldn't say to the point of quivering all the time, but there's at least once a week that there's a moment of quivering. once a week for 52 weeks a year over 22 years, that's a fair amount of quivering. Reach
it's
out
exciting
and touch.
Stuff.
Yeah, contacting as a sign of affection. Demonstrating your mutual adoration for the relationship, demonstrating your affinity for the radiant and favorite son, the brilliant and purifying heir, lest he is perceived as indignant and is displeased, and you perish in this way. For indeed, his righteous indignation can be kindled for a few and for very little comparatively. This is essential to our understanding. It speaks of who Dode is and what he is offering and what happens if you don't capitalize upon what he is offering, if you don't accept what he is offering, if you don't recognize that he and his Father are the source of our eternity, the source of our perfection, the source of our adoption into God's family, and that Yahweh said specifically he's coming back radiant, as brilliant as the sun. He is God's favorite son.
Mm-hmm.
And he did all of this for us. We should all have a bromance. We should all care deeply about him. We should all, that's why he did it. He mm-hmm. suffered these 2 days to earn our respect, and he's done so.
Yes.
And if you disregard what he has done, there is no salvation.
Yep.
And he ends the Mizmor how he began it with my favorite word in the Hebrew language, Asher. Joyful with me and blessed by me are all who put their trust in him. And him here is Yahweh. We'll return to the end of this Mizmor because I don't want to shortchange the benefit of it. Then read through Mizmor 3, 4, and 5, and then see how all of that comes to life in Yashaya. The Mizmor of Dode and the prophecies of Yashaya are hand in glove. They work together to communicate and to teach us, but so do to a large degree the Torah of Moshe, the Zechariah, Malachi, they are all communicate the same message, and it all revolves around what Father and Son have achieved for us. Have a wonderful Shabbat to one and all. We're about to be cut off by Blog Talk Radio. It's been a pleasure being part of this program with you. We hope that our good friend Kirk begins to feel better. His wonderful wife, Sylvia, is a nurse, so he will receive the best possible care.
True.
And thank you, Dee, for being part of this and for all that you do.
My pleasure.
May Yah bless everyone.
Thanks.
Have a wonderful Shabbat. Good night.
Good night, Yada.
Ever felt unsafe in your rideshare? We all seem to have a rideshare horror story. I'm Will Coleman, CEO of Alto, the world's safest and most consistent ride experience. Stop riding with strangers and start riding with professionally trained employee drivers who aren't in a rush and will never leave you behind. Expect a company-owned SUV that's cleaned and safety checked daily. Your first ride is free with code TRYALTO. Download the Alto app or visit ridealto.com/radio to learn more.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.